verses 14 through 17 that Zach read this morning. We sing a song called I'll Be a Friend to Jesus. Now, I don't like singing lead on that song because it hurts. It's such high notes. You got to get up there high enough to hurt yourself. But it's a great song about the fact that they tried our Lord and Master. And no one defended him. No one stood for him. No one spoke for him. Everyone spoke against him. Will you speak for Jesus? Will you be a friend to Jesus? And, of course, the song goes, I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I will spend. It is a beautiful message and a beautiful song. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There are people that will be friendly to you, and they're friendly to everybody, and they're so friendly with everybody, they don't really stand for much of anything. They're just going to get along with everybody, and they don't stand for anything. But there is a friend that will stick closer than a brother. And that's the kind of friend you want to have, and that's the kind of friend you want to be. Clarence the Angel said, no man is a failure who has friends. What a great sentiment. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to get out more, okay? You need to know some of the classics from our country. But folks, the fact of the matter is we all need friends. And lonely is the individual who has no one that they can talk to. They are to be pitied. They are to be helped in any way they can, because if they have no one that they can talk to, no one that can be their friend, no one that cares enough about them, then they are greatly to be pitied. Because we all need friends. We all need someone. And having a friend is worth so much. If ever, there was a master-slave relationship. We talked about slavery this morning in our Bible class. And there's a lot about slavery that we hear in the news media that's not an accurate depiction of slavery and how it was historically. But there's always going to be the master-slave relationship. That's always going to be. There's always been slavery. There will always be slavery. That's just the reality of the world we live in. And we may legally have abolished slavery in this country, but there's still slavery going on in this country. It's just under the table. It's in dark places. But as far as a master-slave relationship, this was it. The passage that was read to us about Jesus saying, you're my friends if you do whatever I say. He says, no longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Jesus wants to be a friend to us, and we certainly should want to be a friend to him. Jesus, though, is the eternal Word of God. He's the creator of all things that exist, according to John 1:1-3. These men, these apostles, though they were basically good people, they had a commitment to serve God. They followed Jesus willingly. Even Judas Iscariot followed Jesus willingly, but yet they were so often slow to believe what he said. Listen to what Jesus says in John 14, verse 9, to Philip. Philip, who brought Nathanael, okay? Philip, who was one of the most beloved of the apostles. And yet Jesus says to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? It's just things about Jesus teaching that they just didn't pick up on. And the same is true for us, isn't it? But yet they were slow to believe him at times. And yet they did not consider themselves to be on the same level as Jesus. They did not look at him as someone that was equal with them in all things. They saw him as master. They saw him as Lord. They saw him as God. And while their understanding was imperfect, they still had an understanding that this is more than just a friendship. This is a discipleship that we have with our Lord. We are following Him as His followers, as His learners, as His disciples. And He is our Lord and our Master. That's how they viewed the relationship that they had with Jesus. And yet Jesus called them His friends. What does that even mean? How can we be considered friends of God? I know that Abraham is called the friend of God. David is spoken of as being a man after God's own heart. Jesus said of Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." I mean, God reaching out to man and calling certain individuals these names. What does it mean to be a friend to Jesus? What's involved in this expression? I'm going to suggest four words this morning that are essential as we talk about this master and yet friend relationship that we have with our Lord. These four words. You see, there's, before I tell you the words, there is a spirit in friendship, isn't there? There's a relationship. There's a feeling in friendship that you don't find in a master-slave relationship. You don't find it. And if you will read, if you will take time to read the regulations, the commands, and the descriptions involved in the master-slave relationship that you find in the New Testament, if you will take time to read these and then apply these to your relationship to Christ, you'll have a better picture of how things really are. That He is our Lord, our Master, and we are His slaves. We're not just servants. We're not just hired servants. We are slaves. The Greek word is doulos. We are His bond servants. We are bound to Him. We owe Him a debt that we can never pay. We are His servants. And yet He wants to call us friends. So these four key words are love and trust, closeness, and giving. Love, trust, closeness, and giving. Think with me about each of these when we talk about love. Obviously, this is something that would not be necessary in a master-slave relationship, would it? There's no reason for a master to love his slaves, and there's certainly no reason for a slave to love his master. There's absolutely no reason to. One purchases, the other is purchased. One commands, the other obeys. I mean, that's the relationship that's there. There doesn't even have to be a word spoken directly between these two individuals. They never have to speak a word directly to one another. They can go through intermediaries. The master can tell the foreman to go tell the slave to go and do this or that. The slave wants to get a message to the master. He has to go through the foreman or some other means. There doesn't necessarily have to be a word spoken between them. And yet Jesus based His whole relationship with His disciples and with us on love. In John 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus called them and calls us His friends. And He laid down His life for us. This is the greatest love that there could ever be. And then you look at the loving obedience that man is to have to Him. John 14, verse 15. "If you love Me, keep My commandments." You say you love Me because He surely does love us. He does love us. But Jesus says, if you say you love Me, then keep My commandments. Do what I tell you to do. He is still our Master, even though He's our friend. Do what I say. It's not what I want that matters. It's what He says that matters. Now, brothers and sisters, until we get that through our heads, we're never fully going to be Christian. Until we gather that, until we understand that our job is to do what He tells us. Well, I don't like the way he treated me, this man treated me, so I'm going to get him back. Is that what Jesus wants you to do? Is that what He commanded? Until we get it in our heads, we have to do what He tells us to do or we don't love him. We don't love him unless we obey him. And so you can't just do what you want to do, and you can't just have an attitude that you want to have. Unforgiveness, hatred, wrath, jealousy, rage, disrespect, unkindness. Brethren, these are qualities, attitudes of Satan. These are not attitudes of Jesus. And he forbids us to have attitudes like this. We cannot allow, we cannot give in to these feelings that may try to drive us to get back at someone or to take advantage of someone or anything that would be wrong. We can't give in to that. We have to hold on to what's right and do what's right because that's what Jesus told us to do. But we also must avoid that which is wrong. We must reject the wrong and kick it out. Have nothing to do with the sinful works of darkness. Have nothing to do with it because he is our Lord, our Master, our friend. And so we should love him enough that what we say, what we think, what we want is not the important thing. It's what he says. That's all that really matters. And until that is all that really matters, you are never going to be happy. You are never going to be contented. You're going to deal with guilt. You're going to deal with frustration. You're going to deal with selfish attitudes until you and I get that in our heads that it's all about what he says and not what we want. Then we're never going to be happy. And we're never going to be really successful as Christians. No, there has to be this love. There has to be this love. Second, there has to be trust. How far do you trust Jesus? Now, yesterday, we were driving back from Madison, and Faye said, Whoa, Robert. Because the red lights of the brakes were coming on in front of me, and I didn't know she could talk that fast. And, you know, I saw the red lights, and my foot was moving toward the brake, but she didn't see my foot. And I'm going, she just didn't trust me. Well, sometimes Faye and I are alive today because she didn't trust me. Sometimes it's been that way. But you can trust Jesus. He will always do you right. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not abandon you. And even when you're being stubborn and foolish, he's still there. And he still cares about you. So you need to trust him that he knows what's best and he'll look out for you. He'll take care of you. He'll meet your needs. You know, he was under absolutely no force, no compulsion, no requirement to tell his disciples, I want you to be my friends. He could have just stuck with the master-slave relationship. He didn't have to do that. In John 15, verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus let him in on his plan. He let him in on his plan. He let him in on the process. He's let us in on it. He's given us his word to show us exactly the kind of people he wants us to be and the kind of work he wants us to do. I mean, he's revealed these things to you, so he's not just calling us his servants. He's calling us his friends. He trusts us with his message. He trusts us to do his work, to be his hands, his feet, and his mouth. He trusts us to do it. He trusted them to accomplish his work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, trust is necessary for friendship to happen. If you can't trust a person, you can't really call them your friend. And if they can't trust you, then you're really not a friend to them. If they just can't trust you. Now, obviously, they trusted Jesus for guidance, and they trusted Jesus to bless them in their work, and so do we, and so must we. So trust is essential. Love is essential in friendship, and trust is essential in friendship. And what about closeness? You know, a master and slave may stand elbow to elbow. As Henry was talking about today, they're just not on the same level. They're just not. One's the master, the other's the slave. The master does not give away everything he's got to the slave. He might do that for his son or daughter. He might do that for a close relative or even a friend. But he's not going to do that for a slave. No, they may be miles apart in their thinking, their ambition, their goals, their purpose, their spirit, and certainly in their possessions. Friends, real friends, though they may be miles apart. Have you got friends in other states? You got friends in other countries? Some of you do. I mean, a long way off. Thank the good Lord for Skype and WhatsApp and various other Facebook and things like that that are available all over the world so we can keep up with friends that are scattered all over the place. It's a nice thing. But friends, even though we're miles apart from each other geographically, we may be emotionally so well connected in our aims and our thinking and our attitudes and even especially in our station, our status, our position. You know, see, God took on the form of a man, became one of us. He became one of us. He's still the Lord. He's still the master. He's still God. But he became a man so he could relate to us and we could relate to him. He was seeking our friendship. Jesus promised to be with these men always. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age, Matthew 28 and verse 20. He promised to be with them in the work that they were going to do. In Mark 16, verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We who are workers together with him, we're working with Jesus to do his work, to do his job, to do the mission that he's given us to do. And that's to take the gospel to the world and to take the gospel to our next door neighbor. To take the gospel to that person that we share a house with. To take the gospel to every person we can possibly share his word with. He's trusted us to do that. There's got to be this closeness, this trust, this love. And there's also got to be giving. There's got to be giving. Friends give. They give. You know, good friends, they love to give each other gifts. And it doesn't have to be some big expensive thing. It can just be a small little thing. You know, even just a card that's written or handwritten with a note inside. Those are precious gifts, aren't they? And friends love to give friends gifts. And the master owns his slaves. He owns them. And he has them for what he can get out of them. That's the way the master-slave relationship. And if any slave becomes unprofitable, what does he do with it? Well, this man, he's no longer able to do this work I want him to do. Well, he's got a wife and he's got children. I don't care. He's gone. He's not a prophet to me. He's gone. That's slavery at its harshest and its worst. The one uses the other to gain. But friendship is based on giving back and forth, giving and receiving. Friendship is fully willing to be used. Listen carefully. Somebody that's your close friend, you don't mind even sacrificing for them. You don't mind. They are such a close friend. Have you ever heard people say, I'd take a bullet for him? Or I'd take a bullet for her. Have you ever heard anybody say that? There are some people that I feel that way about. There's some of you in this room that I feel that way about. I wish I could say all of you, but I don't feel that way about every one of you. I know every one of you don't feel that way about me. You know, taking a bullet is a pretty heavy thing. But the reality is, if you've got a close, close friend, you're willing to sacrifice for that close friend. You're willing to do something for them that may be difficult for you to do. But you're willing to do it. You're willing to be used. You're willing to help your friend. And Jesus truly, completely spent himself for us. Now, I need to give you a word of caution. I've given you three words, or four words rather. Love and trust and closeness and giving. But I need to give you a word of caution about this friendship, this relationship that we have with Jesus. I can, if I'm not careful, I can take advantage of a friend, can't I? Anybody can. You can take advantage of a friend. You don't want to presume with God. You don't want to make presumptions with God. You don't want to be disrespectful and forget your place with God. We are still His servants. We may be His friends, and we may obey all of His commandments, and we may live upright before the Lord at all times in our life. But, and though we are His friends, He is still our God. And we must remember that. We must remember that. You see, our attitude toward Him must maintain and must remain that He is God, He is Master, and He is Lord. And we recognize that we are at our very best, according to Luke 17, verse 10, at our very best, we are still unprofitable servants because we've only done that which was commanded us to do. We haven't brought any gain to the Lord. God has not been benefited at all by you being one of His children. You have not done anything that has enlarged God's borders, that has made God more, or has helped God in any way. You have not, I have not, none of us are capable. Because if we do what God has commanded us to do, that's all we've done, that's all we're capable of doing. We're still unprofitable servants. We're still dependent upon His grace and His mercy and His love. We are. So I want to issue this word of caution that we cannot take liberty with God. We cannot use our position as friends of God to take liberties with God, to take liberty with His Word. Well, you know, God is such a loving God and such a merciful God that, you know, He won't send me to hell just because I want to do this. Brother, yes, He will. Don't kid yourself. Yes, He will. If you defy Him, if you rebel against Him, if you will not keep His commandments, if you will not do what He tells you to do, He will send you to hell. He has no choice. For if you will not submit to Him, He cannot save you. Grace is not something that is forced upon anyone. We can reject God's grace at the same time we reject God's lordship. So I want to issue this word of caution that while we cherish this friendship that we have, that Jesus is our elder brother, while we cherish that, we cannot allow it to cause us to sin presumptuously before God. David warned against that in Psalm 19, verse 13. We cannot allow these liberties as license to go beyond God's requirements of us, according to 1 Peter 2, verse 16. Rather, we must humbly walk beside our Lord as friend and humble before Him as His servant at the same time. Now, so let's break down John 15, 14 as we wrap this lesson up. John 15, 14. Look at that. Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you, whatsoever I command you." If you do whatsoever I command you, there are conditions that must be met before Christ can be our friend, before He can consider us His friends. He said, if you do whatsoever I command you. And so it's an active thing. You have to do what He says. Everything is included in this. And of course, you have to study to know what all is required, don't you? But Jesus says, I command you. He's the source of the command is Christ Himself. I command you. And so when we talk about friends with Jesus, we need to understand something. We depend on God's grace. We are not achievers. We are believers. Did you hear what I said? We are not achievers. We will not achieve perfection. We will not achieve the goal of being personally righteous before God. We will never achieve the ability to be a perfect Christian and to obey God in every respect. We will never achieve that. But if we believe in Him, and we believe Him enough to submit to Him and keep trying to walk in the light, keep serving Him, keep submitting to Him, obeying Him, recognizing Him as Lord and Master as well as friend, then we will be saved by the grace of God, and God will declare us righteous because of the blood of His Son. That's why Jesus' death was such an important thing. By the strength of the grace of God that we receive in Christ, we will be able to do whatever He commands us to do, according to John 15 and verse 5. Because Jesus said in John 15, 5, apart from me, ye can do nothing. Now I want to close with a passage, 1 Peter 2, verse 11 through 16. I want to close with this passage. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Now watch this. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to kings as to supreme or governors or as those sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, and yet not using liberty as a cloak or vice, but as bond servants of God. Free bond servants of God. Free as friends, but submissive as slaves. And that's the relationship we have as friends of Christ. Do you want to be a friend of Christ? Then come to Him and obey His gospel. Obey Him in everything He says. Do you want to be a friend of Christ? Are you a Christian? Do you believe in Him enough that you will do what He says, relying on the grace of God for the strength that you need to obey His commands? Do you want to be a friend of Christ? Because here's a friend that will never let you down. Do you need that kind of friend? I say you do. I say I do. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come and let Jesus be your friend. Come as we stand and sing.